your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Resilient Minds Podcast. Today, I'm sitting here with a dear friend of mine, Mr. Gil Petersill. He's the co-founder of Meet Partners, who has been representing some of the biggest speakers across the world, including Eckhart Tolle, Jay Abraham, and even my favorite, Mr. Tony Robbins. His vast business and cultural experience gained while living all over the world has proven that networking is much more than a social skill. He's a tremendously successful entrepreneur that has co-founded over 20 companies ranging from organic retail to restaurants to apps and even the leading speakers bureau. Gil's networking themes also cover so many subjects such as mentorship, follow-up systems, strategic partnerships, and even masterminding. He's authored an amazing book called The New Networking Code and spoke on over 1,000 stages around the world, sharing the stage with the greats like Brian Tracy, Jordan Belfort, Keith Ferrazzi, just to name a few. Welcome, my friend. It's such a pleasure to have you, my friend.
It's happening, man. Happy to be with you.
Dude, it's a pleasure. And, you know, I just want to first and foremost, just really just thank you for your time. Very grateful, you know, because I know that you're a busy guy. You're in Bali right now. Am I right?
I am. So I hope the audience doesn't mind the soundtrack background of the nature talking.
Oh, it's beautiful, man. It's a pleasure. It's like last time I was in Bali, it was like Nirvana, man, like just transcendence to a whole new element. So definitely can feel the love and see the smiles on you right now too. If you're watching the video, it's good to see your smiling face, bro. It's been too long, bro. Well, welcome. What have you been up to lately?
Well, we've been keeping quite busy and focused. You know, our current business focus for the last decade has been a lot connected to educational tourism, a lot connected to everything, you know, that is import and export of humans for personal development reasons, literally moving thousands of people every single year across oceans in order to find them the right coach, the right teacher, the right strategic partnerships for them to grow their business, grow their life. And our business, you know, about 6 weeks ago came to a complete halt.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. We had to pivot all of our focus to what we were doing online, which was not as big as offline. So now we're very focused on that. We moved all of our masterminds to online, moved all of our events online, getting involved in a lot of summits. I'm doing anywhere between 3 to 5 speeches now every single week.
Wow.
Trying to serve the world and showing them that activating the collective genius, you know, getting that mastermind together is a must these days to get the answers, to get the opportunities, and to get on the right track.
I love it, Gil. And you touched on something that really just kind of really resonated with me right now is that collective genius. I was literally just reading Power Versus Force with Dr. David Hawkins and how he talks literally, and I was reading the chapter yesterday on the collective growth of consciousness and how we need to come together more than ever. And it's fascinating because now that's literally what's happening. And he wrote that book like 20 years ago, more, you know? So literally, you know, connecting with you is amazing, and how you've been able to pivot, you know, because for those of the listeners, you know, that, you know, aren't aware, specifically, you know, do you mind sharing how many of these huge events, because you're putting on huge events for brilliant speakers around the world. Would you mind sharing how, like, just so people understand the numbers of potential that has been out there that you've been able to collectively bring together? And then now to be able to pivot that online is a really key composure of like focus and follow through.
So first of all, I think that what's going on right now, it's actually life has become a lot easier for those who are able to innovate and create quick solutions, because before we would have to get, you know, let's just say in April of this year, I was scheduled to bring over 1,000 clients from Russian-speaking countries, which is where my wife is from, is where I lived for many, many years, and we ended up taking over exclusivity of representing Tony Robbins in the Russian market. We were planning to be over 1,000 people, again, in planes, hotels, the whole thing, to the UK, to the event that Tony was going to have there, the UPW.
Yeah.
And when that got canceled, it's like, oh my God, 1,000 people are not going to get to go there. But what happens now is, if you think about it, majority of the world is sitting at home in front of their computers, their phones. So it's the first time ever in humanity that we truly have access to almost the entire world. If we marketed ourselves or our product in an authentic way, in a relevant way to them. So it's actually easier than ever before to bring tens of thousands of people into your event, where, you know, before when we had Tony come to Moscow on September 1st, 2018, we had 26,000 people in the audience. That was really awesome. We had Eckhart Tolle the year before also at the end of September. September is a very good month for us. We had 6,000 people for Eckhart. Wow. And that was really cool because Eckhart has never had 26,000, has never had 6,000 people for himself. His biggest event was 4,000 people. So I love that we were able to organize not just large scale events, but we were able to organize what everyone said would not be possible.
Yeah.
Everyone said, no, it's too many people. No, you'll get 1,000 people. Tony is great. Yeah, you'll get maybe 5,000-6,000 people. No. So I love that. You know, during all these years when we organized events, not just with these big guys, you know, we've organized a lot of events with smaller people who are not as big as Tony, but are still very relevant, very, very interesting. Yeah. You know, and it's not about name dropping because, yeah, everybody maybe know Tony Robbins and Eckhart, but, you know, not everybody would know it. But Keith Ferrazzi was also an amazing guy to work with. I actually spoke to Keith last week about a project, the mastermind project we're going to do together.
Cool.
And also Jay Abraham, everybody knows him as the, you know, the business guru, the marketing strategist. But there's so many amazing people out there in the world that we've had the pleasure to work with and still do today. And I think they're the people that can make the biggest difference today because they're on micro influencers. You know, they're the ones that will take 1,000 people, 10,000 people and just like completely transform their lives.
Yeah.
And that's where we are today in this pivot where it's not about trying to put together an event for, you know, 20,000 people offline. It's about how many people can you influence, you know, online? And then maybe in the future, you can meet up with them offline. That's the exciting part today.
I love that, man. And I think that's, you're right. There's so much pivot. There's so much growth. There's so much opportunity right now. And I really want to circle back a little bit back to that because I think that, you know, I always ask everybody, you know, what is their X factor, right? And determining and going back onto their experience, right? So if I may ask you, Gil, what's the biggest X factor, the experience that has really helped you kind of continue to keep moving, keep going forward?
So that has changed a few times in life. You know, it's what drives me today is definitely not what drove me 5 years ago. Today, I'm a father of two and expecting another one. Today I'm living in, thank you, man. Today I'm living in Bali and I have multiple businesses that are running without me. Today I have a payroll that's quite big for, you know, our staff that's sitting around the world. So today I have a different level of responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the X factor today is very much connected to networking. The X factor today is very much connected to, I have a mission to meet the most outstanding people in the world. I don't want to just meet them and take a photo with them. I want to be able to learn from them. I'm able to be able to model some of them. I want them to rub off on me a little bit and kind of be able to kind of learn, like really like take something awesome away from this person. But that mission goes deeper because in order for me to really do that in a deep level of networking, I must also serve this person. I must rub off on them. I must make a difference in their life. I must be able to add value to people like Tony, people like Richard Branson, people like Jay. I must make a difference in their life so that, like, you know, when Tony invited me to his home for a one-on-one talk, it was really important that I know that it's not a coaching session for me. It was about me adding value to him and him adding value to me. It's like, how can we exchange? It was awesome. Like, when I talk to Jay every couple of weeks, it's like, how do we add value to each other? I'm not going to pay Jay's consulting fee. He's not my consultant, but now he's become a colleague, a mentor, a friend, you know? So It's about being able to add value to these people. And the mission went even deeper, not just how do I add value to them, but now how do I connect them with other people? Because I really think that the depth of networking, the part of that most people don't really understand about is the human frequencies, the emotional intelligence that we're able to truly open up to. That to me is the essence of where a lot of people can get happiness, can get prosperity, can get the mindset of abundance. And that's a big part of this X factor that's driving me forward. I've learned this stuff. I wasn't like that. You know, I'm a born introvert and I still am an introvert, but as an immigrant, since the age of 10, I've been an immigrant, English being my third language, a language I never learned in school. I went through the painful days to get to a point where I'm like, well, it truly is all about this human connection. Yeah, humans have called it networking, but networking means a lot of different things to a lot of people. And the more I have studied networking, both the art and the science of it, man, the more I realize I don't know anything. And if the world is calling me a guru and I'm being put in all these covers of magazines, the networking guru, and I'm like, I don't know much about this stuff, actually. I'm like, oh my God, the world really needs to learn this stuff right now. This is the most important subject in school that we don't learn. This is the most important human characteristics that you can continuously develop. This is the most important skill that you can actually study. Like playing the piano, you can study networking. You can become really good at it quite fast. And I love that the more I study it and the more I teach it, the more I'm challenging myself to grow to the next level.
I love that. I think that's, wow. Yeah, the more, I always say the best teachers are students and the best students are teachers. I think that's so profound now that, you know, and you pass that on even further now, because, you know, coming from your element and your experience as you continue to evolve and get to the next level, we feel like we can actually, with regards, especially with networking, whether you're introvert or extrovert, it allows you to just evolve by being human, by being connected, by being somebody that is literally wanting to learn from somebody else or vice versa. You know, and I think that really speaks to the fact that that's why you've gotten to have the time to spend with Tony in, you know, at his house, you know? So tell us what that was like, because I'm sure that was amazing. And I'm sure everyone that's listening is probably curious. So what was that like, you know, spending, you know, time with him at his home? It was in Florida, am I right? It was home in Florida?
Yeah, in Palm Beach, yeah. So it was, it was on some level, it was surreal, but also I waited about 5 years for it to happen. You know, when I started working with Tony's company in 2013, it was out of desperation because my wife and I were in a really difficult time. Again, as a serial entrepreneur, I was all over the place. You know, not all my 20 companies were successful. Of course, I've had many, many successful failures in life. And I call them successful failures because I've grown from them. I've learned from them. I would do them again just to learn what the lessons I've learned. And 2013, when we had the opportunity to go and, go to Tony, the first UPW, it was together. It was at a position where we couldn't actually afford to go. Mm. So we couldn't afford to go. So the opportunity that came up is, hey, if you bring a small group of people with you, you actually can come in for free as a promoter. And I was like, all right, that's a cool hack, you know? Add value to someone, you can come in for free. So that was a big thing for us. So we brought in 25 people with us. And that was a really special moment, because that moment, like, we both of us, like, really our lives completely changed around after that UPW completely. We were fully, fully in. and it was cool because the year later for UPW, we brought 200 people. And that was a pretty significant thing for us. Like, we changed our whole lives to suddenly do that. And it was the hardest thing we ever had to do, but it was very, very, it felt amazing. And the funny thing is, that year, I thought that we did such a big thing. I was sure Tony would want to meet me. I was sure, like, you know, but then I realized that it's actually, I'm the smallest partner, and there's so many big distributors around there, and everybody is, like, much bigger and, like, been around for 14 years. And, like, he rarely even meets with them because he's so busy. I was starting to get the understanding, like, yeah, the guy is amazing. I love him. But he's got so many things to do outside of the event. He's so busy. He's so giving. He's, like, wow of a human being. So I had to wait another year until finally I got to meet him. And that was a quick kind of 2 minutes. Hello, hello, where are you guys from? Cool, thank you for what you're doing. A nice photo that made a mass. It felt like a lifetime. It felt like it was very long with him. And it also felt like it was a split second because I was so nervous. I didn't know what
I love
to
it,
say.
Of course. Yeah.
All of my networking training went in the garbage very, very quickly. And that was just not for the first time, because the second time I met him alone. First time was with my wife and our partner, so I was a little bit more calm. I had to look like the cool, proud, kind of, confident guy, of course.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
The girls were nervous. But the second time I met him all by myself, and I, you know, man, I don't know if I could say this on your channel, but I shit bricks. It was like, I was just mumbling, not knowing what to say, so nervous. And Tony felt that. And he was like, hey, don't worry about it, man. He gave me like a big hug. He's like, I love you, man. We've been working together now for 3 years. You know, you're growing so fast. He was complimenting, making me feel very, very comfortable. And basically, that was 2014. And in 2018, we started to bring numbers that no one else brought before. As in 2016, we jumped to 1,000 people for one event.
Wow.
And people were like, well, hold on. No one has ever brought 1,000 people from a different country. That's just, people have been working with him for 10, 15 years. You're the first one that's ever jumped to that level for one event.
Wow.
And so I basically said, listen, I said to Tony, I'd love to bring you to Russia. And he's like, sure. And this was, I told him that in 2015. And Tony was like, yeah, sure. I'd love to come to Russia. And he said, when? I was like, I don't know, but 2018 is when I'm going to bring you to Russia. He's like, that's awesome. Let's do it. And really, 2018, we brought him to Russia. And we had 26,000 people. And after the event, you know, he's like, big hug. Hey, you told me we're going to do it. It's like, yes, of course. You know, I had no idea how, but, you know, it came true. I think that's how dreams and goals come true.
Yeah.
And he said, why don't you come over to the house and we'll talk about it. And I thought it was a little bit surreal. I didn't know if it was really, you know, what's going to, and I thought maybe a lot of people were going to be there. I thought it was some sort of an event or something. I was like, all right. And then when I show up, it was just, you know, him and I for an hour talking. I was calm. I was calm. I was confident. I was not speaking to my guru. I was speaking to a business partner. I was speaking to a friend. I was speaking to someone who I know is a human like us. I know he's got his ups and downs. I know his vulnerable moments in life. I've seen him at his, you know, his peaks and in his some, not most, but some of his low moments. And it was just a human to human talk. It was a position of how can we serve each other? What are we both doing? We're both sharing our goals and, you know, what are we doing to help each other out? And agreed on some follow-ups, and Tony gave me a little bit challenge to, you know, help his executive team with some of the things that we've learned that we've done in our country that not many people have been able to do. Like, we built a community that's really big and very, very active, and we built all these Telegram chats and all these kind of activities of a community we call Tony Keys. You know, Tony Keys are the Russian Tony fans, basically. And they're very active. They meet up and they have all these music and they have all these kind of gatherings. And it was really, it was surreal. It was beautiful. I love the man and look forward to seeing him again.
Dude, massive love for you, dude. Just that, you know, even all the hard work that, you know, led up to that. And, you know, that really comes back to following that why. So the big why, right? So, and that you continue to do that. So I guess to clarify, going back to it, I guess, what is your big why factor? What's the why that, like, you wake up every day, you roll out of bed just excited to show up? Because, you know, that element that was created at UPW, and I can totally relate to that, Gil. Totally relate, because my first UPW in London, I was like, yeah! And that's when I signed up to Platinum. And honestly, man, I can totally relate that, like, that whole element of, like, wake the fuck up. Like, this is the time to show up. It completely, like, when you were saying it, I just felt myself in your shoes. And So now it's like, what's the big why that continues to push you? Because you've accelerated at a rapid rate. And that's because something deep inside you. So do you mind sharing?
So, you know, I think it's important that everyone who's kind of tuning in, that why doesn't always drive us. That why sometimes scares us. The why stops us to think. The why made me climb up the mountain. My birthday was last month in April.
And, happy birthday.
And thanks, man. In beginning of April, things were really, you know, hitting the fan of the world of Corona and COVID. And I actually took 3 days off and climbed up a mountain on my own and camped out there with no human beings, so zero connection. Wow. You know, that why would make you do things. That why doesn't always make you jump out of bed. I bet sometimes that why makes you stay in bed a little bit longer and think about it. Sometimes that why gives you sleepless nights. That why could sometimes make you sick because you're overwhelmed with this desire to do something maybe that you don't have all the tools to, you don't have all the resources to, you don't get the help, the support maybe from people around you always. So that why needs to be this, I think, continuous evolvement. Because the why is not a simple, hey, this is why, and it should always give me energy. I don't believe it's that simple. I believe, so for me, a why today starts as simple as I have an awesome family and I want to serve them. I want us to live in a beautiful house with palm trees and a pool, and I want to be able to do whatever I want, even though we are in kind of quarantine. Don't tell anyone. My kids still go to a local awesome school that we created. We created a local school for our kids because our kids are quite young. They're under 5 years old, so they can't really study online. We just created a local school with some local parents. My why allows me to take my wife last week to like the Six Senses Hotel here in Bali, which is on a 500 meter cliff, stunning view, huge boutique hotel for her birthday. And there was only 5 guests in the whole hotel. Oh. That why allows me to go on shopping sprees because we just moved into a new home and I wanted to make it feel like a home because, you know, we can't go back to our home in Singapore and we're going to be here for a few months. So, you know, that why allows you to have freedom. That why allows you to serve people. I love doing mentoring for people for free. Yesterday, I got on a call with a massive group of some of the leading students of NUS. NUS is the National University of Singapore. And I've been working with them as a mentor for many, many years. And that why allows me to serve them free of charge. It allows me to get on calls with them and follow up with them. And some of them send me messages on LinkedIn and ask me some really simple advice that is, for me, simple, but for them is completely life-changing. It allows me to take hours out of my day and just serve humanity. That why allows me to, you know, start a new business knowing that it's not going to make me any money for the next 2-3 months. It's going to potentially lose me money. And, you know, hey, that's the risk of an entrepreneur. You might not make money, you know, as soon as you think. But that why also allows me to step into a position and charge my clients, you know, 20 grand for a coaching program because I know I can serve. Yeah. That why is this drive inside of me that I know, listen, you've been through pain. You've been through challenges. Why? Because, you know, you were meant to share it with others. Why? Because you were meant to get to a position where it's going to be easier. Why? Because, like, I feel inside that as humans right now, we're going to live to like 150, 200 years old, as long as a bus doesn't hit us, because technology is going to be there, which means at 41 years old, I'm in a teenage position right now, actually. So that why puts me in a position where, like, holy shit, like, okay, well, maybe it's now time to start saving. Okay, I haven't been very good at saving for my whole life. My wife has been very good at saving. That's been helping me out. But that why is pushing me to, like, why should I learn something new now? Why should I continuously grow? Why should I step up? Why should I still raise my standards? It's kind of, there's so many whys connected to why serve.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not about this one why, it's about this kind of massive list of whys that you can always tap into one. Like, why eat healthy food? Like, that's a why, you know, like, it's so easy to eat unhealthy food. I know it's so easy. Like, we stopped drinking alcohol and stopped eating meat after the first UPW. We took Tony's 10-day challenge. which lasted 1 month, lasted 1 year, and it's lasted, you know, a little bit more than 8 years now. And it's like, why? Okay, I have a why. You know, I don't have to sell someone else and why they should stop eating meat and why they should stop drinking alcohol, but it's connected to my why. Yeah. And I think our whys is, it's not just this one why that drives it. It's like all these different whys. Like, you know, why do I like going for walks with my wife? And why do we like sex?
All affects one another, hey? Like,
yeah, it's like, you know, give yourself good reasons for doing whatever you want to do in life.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Give yourself good reasons for what you want to do in life. I love that, dude. I love that. That's so good. Oh, it's brilliant. Where do you get all these best ideas? Because, bro, you've had 20 companies, over 20. You know, you're obviously super creative. Where do you get some of these amazing
people.
Ideas? Because you literally
people.
Just
people.
Say what?
Yeah. People. There is no new ideas, in my opinion. There is only innovation on someone else's idea.
Beautiful.
Even all of the ideas, I don't know if you ever watched Shark Tank or any of the Dragon's Den or anything. I love watching those. Like, I don't watch, we don't have a TV already for 20 years. But, you know, I'll watch a little bit of some YouTube videos, maybe an hour a day to just disconnect from the, you know, doing work and business and kids. I like to kind of disconnect a little bit. It's nice to watch some videos. And if I do watch them, I'll either watch really funny videos just to laugh out loud. Like Kevin Hart makes me laugh. You know, I like
yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. I read his book. It's unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So I like to watch videos that would make me laugh. Or I like to watch things that would make me learn, like something interesting, innovation. And Shark Tank and things like that, even though I think some of it is fake and produced, there's some interesting ideas. And every single idea they come up with, even the brand new ideas, is innovation based on something. Mm. There was something out there that already existed, but this was made much, much better, and then they got a patent on it or something.
Yeah.
So I think that for me, every idea I've ever had was one by just going for walks in the streets and watching people. I love going for long walks in the streets and watching. You watch humans. What are they carrying in their hands? What problems they have? Is retail okay? Is retail not okay? And by talking to people, networking, finding out what people are working on, asking people what's new and exciting in your life. You'd be surprised what people will tell you. What kind of challenges are you currently facing, or what kind of challenges are you foreseeing right now? Is also a question that I love to ask people, because you'll understand what people are scared of that's coming up. And such questions and such engagements just have always given me ideas. And even though from Tony's profiling of the manager, entrepreneur, and artist, I am by far the artist, actually, not the entrepreneur. And I only found that out of Business Mastery a few years back, which was interesting because I had to change my whole way of managing companies, basically stop managing them as much, let other people manage them. But it means that because I'm the artist so much, working with managers requires me to really be patient and really be structured, which is strange because artists are not very structured. So like right now, for example, for one of my new businesses, I partner up with someone who's like a super manager. He's super structured. And we've pivoted ways of communication, ways of talking to each other in order to connect, in order to share, in order to be able to, you know, flourish the business. And it was interesting because when I understood that artist was my first and entrepreneur was my second, I started understanding that, well, maybe I need to hire some entrepreneurs. That's cool. So I started hiring some younger entrepreneurs that were hungry for business and hungry for money, because as an artist, I wasn't hungry for money. Money was not my driving factor. And that was really cool as well to understand that about myself, that as an artist, I had to identify things that I would want to do or buy or experience or consume or like, you know, or give or contribute in order for that to understand. If I want that, well, I need to make money. So that was kind of, that's the artist way of being driven.
It's really fascinating because I relate to that again. Like, I feel like I'm talking to myself just like 10 years ahead of me or 8 years ahead of me. Cause I think you're, you said 41.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 30. I'll be 33 in June. So I feel like I'm talking to my future self right now. Like literally, bro, like your experience of life is just so much ahead, but I feel
so I'm going to tell you that next year you're going to get married, and in a couple of years you're going to have a kid, and then every 2 years they'll have another kid. I'll tell you exactly at the point of your life when you're going to have very low points, financial points. I think men actually have very similar low points in their lives. It's kind of life goes like this at a point, but it doesn't have to go down and always get to the same low position. You can actually, I think, work through life so that it goes down. But once you start going up, then that becomes the new low point. And then you go up and then you go back down to this point. So it's almost your low points can actually still go up and up and up. So
yeah, they just become a higher level, right? Like a higher level.
I know billionaires who were broke, but they're only broke for like 3 months and then they were billionaires again.
And
that's happened to me in life. I've been broke. I've been close to bankrupt. Even now with the situation, listen, a multi-million dollar company that suddenly stops transacting, you're like, holy shit, we don't have that much cash flow to, you know, run this business with no money coming in. And it's a really, really scary position to be in. But because I've been in different low points in my life, whether it was financial, emotional, or just, you know, different stress levels, you kind of start to build this immune system to stress and like, okay, so let's handle it. Let's manage it as best as possible. That's it.
That's a powerful, you know, concept, especially like coming from, you know, any business, right? So, you know, if there's any entrepreneurs or business owners listening right now, like it comes back down to like the resilience, right? And then resilience pushing through no matter what, right? So connecting that. So Gil, how do some of these values show up every day inside of your workplace or inside of you as a leader, you know, inside of you founding all these companies? Like these type of values are super important, like the like resilience, right?
So first of all, they sometimes, a lot show up pissing people off. Because people don't like, people don't always like resilient, persevering kind of people. They don't, people give up easily. So if they have someone that keeps on pushing them and yes, you can, come on guys, think like, come on, of course we could do it for cheaper. Of course we could do it faster. Oh, they don't like that. They don't like that because people like their limitations. People really like their boxes, and people like that, you know, we all have different belief systems and people enjoy feeling safe in that zone of, you know, of comfort. For me, these moments of resilience, I think, show up when I understand that there is no other way. It's like either there is no other way because, hey, I don't have millions of dollars to invest in getting this up and running, but I have some really good connections and let me try to talk to them and negotiate and let's come up with a win-win deal that kind of just makes sense. Or, well, guys, sorry, we don't have 2 months until we launch the event. What's stopping us from doing it in 3 weeks? Like literally, like yesterday I had this conversation. They said, no, we need 3 months to organize this event. I'm like, no, we used to need 3 months to organize such events. Now we need 3 weeks. And this is why. Think differently. And it takes a while because you have to walk through the some of the details of how you see things done. And I think that what I've learned, at least now in the last few weeks, especially in my business, and we did that with my wife right away, but you know, 5-6 weeks ago, and things started really shaking up in the world, I sat with my wife and I said, let's review our company values and let's then audit our whole management team. And if anyone doesn't fit them, don't think twice, fire them now. Because if they don't fit these values over the next few weeks, a few months, I said to my wife, they're probably not going to survive. They're not going to be helping us. They're just going to take us slower because so basically understood three core values that we have for our company and really something that is in our lives is one is kindness. The other one is resourcefulness and the other one is gratefulness. And, you know, all three tie in within our business. They all tie in within masterminding. You know, I know you've been to masterminds, but to me in a mastermind, unless you're kind and friendly and nice, unless you're resourceful and giving and happy to share, unless you're grateful and appreciate any feedback and any insight from people, man, it's not going to work out. Something is not going to work out for you. You're just going to be unhappy with whatever situation you're in. And I think that when we started doing that, it's amazing, but right away we fired our sales director. And that's a pretty serious thing to do within like a week of something. Yeah. It's a big role. But we understood that she's not going to survive, because when suddenly we went from selling big offline events to suddenly having to sell online programs, it requires a whole different mindset. It requires resilience to come in. It requires you to suddenly think outside of the box and be creative. And suddenly there isn't as much commission as there used to be. Suddenly they're earning a lot less commission. So some people are unhappy, which means you have to motivate them. And we understood that wasn't her. And we're like, wow, like we needed a world economic crisis to show us that. And like, she's a great girl and everything. You know, we told her, hey, we'll help you out and we'll give you a good recommendation. But like, it's like, wow, that's actually pretty cool that it took that to teach us that.
It connects back to what Tony says. It's not the person that you hire that can change your business. The first person that you fail to fire, right? It really connects.
That's a big one. You know, firing people, it's never been easy for me. Really not. I've managed to motivate a lot of people to quit in life, telling them like, well, you know, listen, man, this is not for you. You're not doing the greatest jobs. Like, you're good at this and this, but all of these things that you're meant to do, you're just not really that good. And you're not trying to be good at it. You're not like, someone wants to be good at it, they'll improve every day. Yeah. They'll go and learn, man. If I want to improve something, like, I listen to books like Blinkist. I don't know if you listen to Blinkist, but I'll listen to like 10 books in one day on a subject I want to improve on. And then I'm going to try it out. I'm going to like work on it. If I don't know something, I'll go and I'll spend a couple hours on YouTube and I'll quickly research and watch it. Like, I'll improve on it. That's it. If that's my job to do. Yeah. And if people are not like that, and basically they're not resilient, then they give up too quickly. And it has nothing to do with the job. It has to do with the human being. You know, I think that an entrepreneur who's not resilient is just willing to allow his friends and family to, you know, change his mind about his dreams, which happens a lot. We listen to our friends and family and they're like, no, stick to your job. It's okay. Or no, don't do that. It's too risky. Or like, no, come on. You have so many competitors. Why do that? Don't worry about it. Like, people like that, you know, they take away from us. And I think this power of resilience is being in positions in life multiple times where I have to not listen to my family and disconnect from them, actually create space from them to not allow them to affect me. Not listen to who I called my best friends. And within 3 months, those people were not my friends anymore. They were acquaintances, sure, but I did not see them regularly anymore because their values and their belief systems were not what I needed at the time as an entrepreneur. I needed people to believe in my craziness. I needed people to believe in my dreams and in personal development, baby. Like, you know, just like, like just believe in them, and they didn't. They believed in something else, you know. They believed in things that were not necessarily dear to my heart.
Bro, so much love right there, and I feel that, like, you know, you've really described and, you know, given a clear path to how you can describe that next level of success. And you've probably kind of really even touched on this, you know, so what is the big reason that people do fail, would you say?
So there's different levels of failure. There's a failure of getting up when your alarm rings in the morning. You know, that's a failure for many people. You snooze and snooze and snooze. Between you and I snoozed this morning a lot because last night I stayed up very late working. But I have kids coming in and working me out. So that's, you can't unsnooze that one. You can fail at not eating healthy or not exercising enough. You could fail at, you know, not going after your dream business and staying in a job. You could fail at, you know, not closing a project at the right time. Some people, they hold on to this baby. They got this project and that they don't want to let it go because they keep on believing in this baby that they have, but it's clearly heading towards a wall. And whether you speed up or slow down, you're still going to hit the wall. So sometimes it's better to just, you know, get out of the car. And if somebody still wants to drive it, let them drive it, but get out of the car and go into another car or just stand on the sidewalk for a little bit and look at what other opportunities you want to step into. I think for me, people fail, one, because they don't get advice from people who count. They get advice from people who matter. And what does that mean? People who matter is more friends and family, and we listen to them, and they have a biased opinion of us, so they're not going to give us the advice that we really need to hear. And getting advice from a complete stranger and within a mastermind is they'll tell you what's the 1, 2, 3 steps you should take now. They're not going to tell, they're not your family that will tell you what they think theoretically. And they might have some good experience, your family and friends, but again, they have a biased opinion of you. I think people fail because of lack of strategic networking. Something that I teach a lot of my clients. I work with a lot of people. People find me on LinkedIn all the time. And, you know, I walk through them like simple things like, you know, let's take your iPhone or whatever phone you have and scroll down on your WhatsApp, like all the way down, and go back 3 to 6 months. And let's walk strategically. Why have you not connecting with these people recently? Yeah. And what did these people mean to you? And maybe you lost touch. Maybe you don't know how to connect with them right now. Let me walk you through some steps how you can reconnect with some people. I walk people through, you know, let's outline your top 10 competitors. How do you connect with your competitors and build a relationship with them? It's really, really interesting. Let's talk about, you know, connecting with your top 10 people that you were not able to convert into clients. Mm-hmm. Somehow you were not able and they fell through. How do you connect with them? How do you connect with your top 10 mentors and actually build relationships with them? And sometimes people are crazy and they're like, I want to meet with Richard Branson and Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. I'm like, okay, you know, we can put together goals for that, but you need to be at a position where you're ready to talk to them and add value to them in that conversation. How about we walk through some mentors who are maybe 5 steps ahead of you, not 1,000 steps ahead of you. Yeah. So people need to come back to earth. A lot of people are saying that, oh, I love Tony Robbins. He's my mentor. He's a great guy. Yeah, Tony is my mentor, but Tony is also many, many, many steps ahead of me. You know, Tony is also 20 years ahead of me, which is cool. Yeah. He's actually 20 years older, so which is really awesome if I think about it. So I got time to catch up, you know. But there's some things that I know Tony has told me that he needed help with, you know. There's some things I know that I'm actually better than Tony in, and that's really cool that we talked about that. I was like, oh, my God.
That is cool. So cool.
Yeah, it is. And to me, that was amazing that he actually said that to me. And I was like, let me help you with that, man. Like, man, that's my strength.
That encounters like a whole new level of like humility and ability to be able to be vulnerable like that, you know, especially coming from, you know, a man that at that level. So at his standard, his outstanding standard. And
I really think it always comes down to that. With people failing, to me, it always, and it sounds strange to people because maybe people don't still get the essence and the depth of networking, but they always fail because of networking. Either they have the wrong people around them, which is just driving them crazy, or just not the right team, or they're not willing to connect with people. They're like, I could do it by myself. So many solopreneurs out there. So many wantrepreneurs out there. So many people are saying like, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, okay, tell me about your team. Oh no, it's just me and sometimes my wife helps me. You're not an entrepreneur. I'm sorry. You're a solopreneur. You're actually a freelancer. You're like, you know, sorry. You're like one person who's trying to do something. Build a team. You build a business. You don't have to hire them. You can have, you can have freelancers working with you full time, no problem. You can have interns working with you for free, man. You can have students working with you for free, students who are better than you in something. But people who are not willing to let go of control, to me, this is failure. This is lack of good networking.
I love that.
It's the most important subject for humans to learn today, especially because of social isolation. Like, I'm teaching so many people how to network online. So many people don't know how to network on Zoom. And I had messages in the last 1 month. Gil, can you talk to me how to network on Zoom? I'm like, what do you mean? I didn't get it, actually. He's like, well, I'm getting on calls with my clients. And I actually don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with my hands so much. Should I be sitting down? Like, you're standing up right now, aren't you?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly, man. So some people are standing up. And like, if I stood up right now, my body will be all over the place. And people told me, Gil, it's a little too much for us in interviews. Because I was all over the place. They said, no, we need you to sit down. I'm like, okay, no problem. So like, you know, but it's cool. because not everyone can handle it. So people ask me about all this networking on Zoom and networking online and how do you do it. And now I'm consulting like over a dozen massive, massive organizations on how to run their not just how to run their events online, because that's an easy one these days. You could do that with a blink of a finger. But it's how to manage the networking breaks online.
Yeah.
That's a huge one, man. We already got it wrong when we told people in the schedule of an event, okay, now you have a 20-minute networking break, or now you have a network 1-hour networking lunch. We assumed that humans know how to network. We do not. Yeah. Humans get a 1 to 1.5 on 10 on average on networking. On my best days, my craziest best days of networking, I'm maybe a six out of 10 in general networking, all of the above. Maybe on my best days.
It really does come down. It does come down to that connection component, right? So,
and I don't know anything else. People keep on saying, oh no, I don't have money. I need money to investment. Bullshit. You don't need money to start a business today. And if you have a good network, you'll have money basically.
Yeah,
and stop asking people for money. Like that's to me the craziest people saying, I need investment. So I need, like they speak to an investor and like, I need $500,000 or I need $100,000. No, if you're speaking to an investor and it's a new person in your life, or it's even a person that you know for a long time, networking rules is you ask for advice. You don't ask for a solution. Ask the investor, Mr. Investor, I got this business idea that I'm working on right now, and as someone who knows a lot about business and investments, I'd love to get some advice from you on what should I be doing and how should I structure this presentation the best way to be able to attract $100,000 from, you know, some investments in the near future. If that investor is a good investor, he will end up saying to you, well, actually, maybe I'm interested. That's what you want to get it to. Stop asking people for solutions. They don't owe you anything. This is the mistake people do. They ask friends and family for solutions. Don't. Solutions are in your hands to get. That's resilience.
Solutions I love it.
Solutions are in your hands. You got your own solutions. Ask people for advice. No problem. Asking people for help is a very powerful thing to do, and it's one of the most amazing things I teach people in my masterminds, how to introduce yourself. Simple thing. People get it wrong. How to ask for help. People get it wrong. How to describe your business in 30 seconds. People get it wrong. You know, how to give value to anyone. How do you give value to a billionaire? It's a simple thing to do, but people get it wrong. And again, it's the essentials of networking that I just want to give the world for free these days. I'm just doing all these interviews to just give it away because I went through the pain so that you don't have to.
I love that, man. So, you know, I think that, you know, because we got a few minutes, I really want to touch on one last thing, and really specifically first things first, if anybody wants to connect with you, find out more information about you, where can they find you and how can they connect with you or the projects that you're
well, if you're resilient, you'll just Google my name and see that there's only one Gil Peterson on Google. If you're not, you'll be like, oh no, he's so busy. Oh no, he's this. No, no, no. He's probably not going to answer me. Oh no, why should I waste my time? He's probably going to get so many messages. That means that you should stop listening to all this stuff. Go and lie down under your bed and good luck there. But if you understand that life is actually so much easier and you could just Google people and you could just send someone a message and if they don't answer you, that's okay. Try again a week later. don't give up on yourself so easily. So LinkedIn and Instagram are the easiest place to reach me.
Beautiful.
Again, I'm the only Gil Peterson and all of the above. Facebook, I'm getting way, way too many messages, so don't message me there. But LinkedIn, easy place to connect with me. Instagram, very, very easy place. If you want to connect with me directly, just tell on Instagram or on LinkedIn, just say, I'd love to connect with Gil directly after I've listened to him on Eric's podcast, because I'm not the one that checks my, you know, I think it was like 400 plus messages a day that I get.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll make sure.
If you want to learn how to connect people into your mastermind, if you want to learn how to launch your business internationally, so like actually going global with your business is something I do as a consultant. If you want to understand a lot about the strategy of building relationships inside of your business, outside of your business, on any level of business, so you actually are someone that's quite interesting and you have something to offer, just reach out to me. You know, I love working with people. Every month I take one or two coaching clients every month I add another 5 coaching clients to my group coaching program. Some are individuals, some are in groups. Every month I help 5 to 10 different people launch new masterminds. And now with our new program, which we've launched because of the current situation in the world, I don't want to call it a virus. I don't want to call it a pandemic. I don't want to call it a crisis. It is a situation in the world. I don't think it's negative. I think it's a massive gift. So because of this massive gift that's happening in the world, we launched a new project called mastermind.space, perfect, which is really, in our vision, it's going to be the Netflix of masterminds. It's just in the beginning. So there's a lot of mistakes that we're making. It's beta version right now. We're just getting it out there. We want to give people access to the collective genius. We want to give people access to some of the most amazing minds in the world. And we want people to be able to mastermind once or twice a week on any challenges they have in life or in business right now. Constantly mastermind. So constantly, you know, if you could do this 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week, you'll have constant opportunities coming into your life for business or life. You'll have constant opportunities coming into solutions, ideas, and how to resolve whatever it's going on with you. And we think that that's what entrepreneurs need. So it's something we're just giving to the world.
I'm pumped, and I'll have all of that information, you know, put into the show notes so that if anybody, you know, is driving right now, they'll be able to go back to the show notes and have a look at all the links to connect. Last question, brother. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Interesting, man. I haven't been asked that question before. That's a cool question. What would I do? I would, first of all, I would break down the 3 days to understand really how much time I have that's going to be awake. Because maybe I'll want to sleep a little bit, even though maybe I won't sleep at all if I know for sure. Number two, depending if it's like, you know, is it just me or is it if we have a meteorite coming to Earth and all of us are going to go, it's one thing. But if it's just me, I might want to start recording some additional voice messages for some key people in my life, for kids, you know, for family. I love voice messages, some video messages from people to leave more of a legacy behind. I want to make sure to empower key people in my team and my family to know where all my videos are and to know where all my money is hidden. I'll want to make sure to delete the history of my computer so no one sees any of the porn.
I love it.
I'll want to get on a Zoom call with some very powerful people in the world, maybe smoke a joint with them together to just kind of one last deep connection with some people. Why not? I'll want to cook. I love cooking. So like at least one really, really, really awesome, you know, gourmet meal, or maybe just have a beautiful Michelin, 3-star Michelin chef show up at my house and cook me a 14-course meal. I love those. I'll know what to do.
I love it, man. Yeah, it sounds like you have a few different great opportunities there. So, bro, I just want to really take a moment and say thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure sharing the mic with you and really connecting. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of people that are equally empowered and excited about thank learning you. More about you. I'm very grateful for your time. Do you want to, you know, do you have any statement, any last words you want to share?
Sure. You know, Tony always says live with passion. And I've added to that, you know, live with passion, connect with love, man. And just connect with people, man. Connect with people. And again, if you can all like take this into heart and connect with people with kindness, with resourcefulness, and with gratitude, life will be a lot more abundant, a lot more nourishing, and will continuously flourish right in front of you.
Bless you, brother. Much love.
Thanks, brother. Take care.
Take care. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now. As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Balance signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.